All right, well, turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 101. 101. Now listen, I'm going to do the best I can with this opening sermon to try to be as conscious as I can of the young people here and everything, and just of the general, trying to be as careful as I can, not to say too much in that sense, but to say enough in order to explain this, is how the brain works. And this first sermon is going to be called "Pornography is Mind Control: Rewiring Your Brain." And you know, a lot of people don't understand this. Okay, they don't realize this. And I know it's a little more scientific, okay? So we're going to talk a little bit more about the brain here in this one. The next one, I'm going to come at you with both barrels, okay? So I'm going to hit it pretty hard. The next one, okay? This in the next hour, I'm going to hit it really hard. I hate pornography, all right? I hate what it's done, and I watched a video that made me hate it even more, a documentary on the history of pornography. And I will say this, I'm not going to deliver that message to you on the history of pornography from this pulpit. But what I'm going to do is Brother Nate and I, we're going to do a radio show real soon. And we're going to do a two-part radio show probably, because I don't think we can get in one. And we are going to teach from the Bible to present day the history of pornography and the satanic attack, where it came from, what it's for. Why it's been instituted in America, how Aleister Crowley is connected to that, how high-level Luciferians are connected to that, and how pedophilia is connected to that. Because make no mistake about it, pornography was popularized in America for one reason, and that was pedophilia. That was the only reason. Because these Satanists and these Luciferians, they get power from that pedophilia, they believe. They get satanic power. They derive their satanic power from that type of abusing of children and stealing their innocency from them and everything else. It's very wicked and satanic and Luciferian. It is very evil. It is absolutely wicked, and God hates it. And if you understand that side of pornography, I think maybe some of those people out there that are struggling with that, or that are dead in their sins with that, will kind of wake up, Lord willing. And if they hear some of these messages, my goal, I make no bones about it, is for you to hate pornography, for you to hate it as much and have a revenge against it, and absolutely hate it for what it's done and what it's doing in this country and in this world. And who's behind it? Yeah, George Bush, yeah. Well, he's one of them. But he's one of them, George Bush, that's right, he's one of them. Absolutely right. Yeah, all these high-level Luciferians are part of it. See, that's one thing that you see from the Bible on, and I don't have time to get into that right now, but you see from the Bible on, you see pornography as nothing more than a Luciferian tool and worship. It's to bring people into Satanism and Luciferianism. And by the way, devils feel more comfortable in environments like that. They're welcoming. We're going to talk about that in the next hour. They knoweth not that the dead are there. We're going to talk about that. And all of that. And I watched a 3-hour documentary. And I'm telling you, after I watched that, I was so absolutely vexed and angry at this industry and what it's done. It's wicked. Just their goals, what they've done, what they've accomplished. Abortion is part of it. Just all of it is. I mean, you would be shocked to know where the research for all this stuff came from. And they used little children like yours to do the research. And it was funded by the United States government through the Rockefellers. Funded by them. Experiments on children with pedophilia. Yeah, it goes deep. Believe me, it goes deeper than what you and I understand. But at this point, but anyway, I'm not going to talk to you about that right now. But we are going to talk about it in the future. And you'll hear a lot of it on the radio. If you listen to it, then you can choose whether you want your children to listen to that or not. That's up to you. You know, you need to listen to it. You better download that radio show, and you better listen to it, and you better know what's going on. You can't fight something that you can't even explain to anybody. That's one of the problems today. We don't want to talk about the things that are delicate and sensitive because we want them to go away. We want to act like they're not really there. You know, the safety is in Christ. It's not in ignorance. You understand that? That doesn't mean we're going to go find out what magic spells are used and things like that. We're not going to practice incantations and we're not going to recite those things. That's not what we're talking about here, okay? We are talking about is being able to understand your enemy and know a little bit about it. Yeah, we're to be simple towards evil. I'm not trying to get too deep with you. But you need to have an understanding of where this stuff came from. And once you see the devil behind it all, once you understand that, it makes you fight it even harder. Amen? That's why you go out to the abortion clinic like we did yesterday, that murder mill, and you turn up that half-mile hailer and you preach right in front of them. Amen. And you have them yelling on the outside at you. They're inside yelling. They're yelling back at you over there. Yeah. Devil-possessed women that work there, walking out of there and smiling at you and smirking at you when you're standing there preaching and mocking as they're murdering babies. By the way, pornography plays into all that. Certainly does. I don't know if it's this one or the next one. I can't even remember. I think it's this one. Yeah, I'm going to show you how a mass murderer, Ted Bundy, how pornography affected him. How he openly admitted the day of his death how it affected him. Mm-hmm. We're going to read his interview. See, I don't like those things. I don't like them either. I hate them. But that's why I'm going to expose them, and I'm going to preach against them, and I'm going to war against them. That's why. Because there's too many pansy-waste preachers out there that won't go out in that street and won't stand up and proclaim the Word of God and won't preach and cry out against this sin. They won't do it. Why? Because they got their mortgages and their building funds and they got everything else. So that's what's important to them. So they're not going to say anything that's going to upset too many people. So what are they going to do? They're going to invent a 10-step program or a 12-step program that puts all the pedophiles and everybody else into a little corner in the church and gives them their place in the church and lets them work their way through the church instead of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, wait, I wasn't going to get excited this message. I was going to calm down here. I was just going to... It's science, brother.
Science.
Stick to the science. I got to calm down here. Okay. I didn't have any 12-step program. You know what I had? I had a head-on collision course with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Smack me right upside my head is what he did.
Amen.
And pierce my heart. But that's bad, because now you're starting to preach a gospel that changes people. Remember, that's heresy. You're not supposed to say Jesus changes people today. That's wrong. Bunch of devils. Psalms 101.3. Ha ha, see that? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. You know what pornography does? The Bible says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, pornography hardens you. It hardens you through the deceitfulness of sin. Hardens your heart against God. Hardens your heart against everything. I'm going to show you how it completely hardens your heart against God. Because, you know, mine eye affecteth my heart. See, sometimes you don't think your eye affects your heart. You don't understand. I'm going to show you. By the way, science, it took them a few thousand years to figure this out. About 5 or 6. God had it wrote in his word. What I'm going to tell you can be summed up in one Bible verse. Mine eye affecteth my heart. That's God already had it. God already told you what was going to happen to you if you let your eye is going to affect your heart. What you take through your eye gate is going to affect your heart. That's right. So I'm going to read you some things here of how pornography rewires your brain, how it's really mind control. Now I'm going to try to be careful, okay? But if a word that you don't like slips in there, something's not understand. I'm not doing this on purpose. Okay, I'm not trying to defile you or anything like that. I don't believe it will by just the basic word, okay? I'm trying to be as clear as I can and be as careful as I can, okay? But truth is truth. By the way, you dads, if you got to go home because of this and explain a few things to your children, there's no sin in that. You understand that, right? You don't have to dig deep into a well. You can give a pretty shallow answer if somebody asks you. An age-appropriated answer. Because we're not going to get graphic with anything. Okay? Yeah, we're not like the public school. Oh, don't worry, I won't do anything like they do in kindergarten today, or they do in grade school today. I promise you, I won't do anything like that. All right. Explicit material, number one, explicit material triggers mirror neurons in the male brain. Now, a lot of this is geared towards men because it's how it affects men's brains, because their eyes affect their brain, definitely. I mean, all of us, but men especially. They're very attracted with eyesight, okay? That's how men are. They don't attract as much on an emotional level as they do on a visual level, is what they see, okay? These neurons, which are involved with the process of how to mimic behavior, contain a motor system that correlates to the planning out of a behavior. In the case of pornography, the mirror neuron system triggers that excitement, which leads to that tension and a need for an outlet. You understand that? That's the way it works. So it triggers things in your mind. And then you have to have a need for an outlet to take care of that. Now, the unfortunate reality is that when people act out, this leads to hormonal and neurological consequences which are designed to bind him to the object he is focusing on. In God's plan, this would be his wife. Amen? In God's plan, your attraction is to be to your wife. That's the eyes that you're supposed to have. That's the object you're supposed to be looking at. That's the one that you're supposed to have your eyes on. Nobody else, no other lady, no other thing, your wife. Amen? That's what's supposed to excite you. But see, pornography destroys that. It destroys it. It distorts it, and it rewires your brain so your wife is no longer the object. But something on a screen, a stimulation on a screen, becomes the object. The click of the mouse with the flash of the screen, with the images that are on there, end up rewiring your brain. Pornography thus enslaves the viewer to an image, hijacking the biological response intended to bond a man to his wife, and therefore inevitably loosening that bond. See, that's the wickedness of pornography. Because then you no longer have that bond with your wife, that strong bond. And let me tell you something, if you're not married, you're going to fall into that same trap if you're watching pornography. Because the one that you do marry, your conscience is not going to be able to be upon her, your brain is not going to be wired that way, you're going to have to literally have your brain rewired by the Holy Ghost. Because it's going to already be changed. See, there's consequences to actions. You think if God forgives you, there's no consequences to those actions. Not so, friend. For what you sow, you shall reap. And there are consequences for actions. In men, there are five primary chemicals involved in arousal and response. The one that likely plays the most significant role in pornography addiction is dopamine. Now this is the one that this is the major problem here. The dopamine that is produced, what happens here, okay? I'll explain this to you. The one that likely plays the most significant role in pornography addiction is dopamine. Dopamine plays a major role in the brain system that is responsible for reward-driven learning. Okay? Every type of reward that has been studied increases the level of dopamine transmission in the brain and a variety of addictive drugs, including stimulants such as cocaine, methamphetamine. They act directly on the dopamine system. Dopamine surges when a person is exposed to novel stimuli. In other words, pornography is a drug. It is the new drug. It is the most accessible, legal drug that anyone can view and not go to prison for. In their house, in their car, from their smartphone, anywhere they walk, anywhere they go, anything they do, they can find pornography free. You don't even have to pay for it. It's free. Thousands of millions of images at your disposal at all times. Let me ask you, what lady can compete with that? What lady could? None. None at all. It's a drug. It's the new drug. It's the new age drug. And it's probably the most damaging drug out there. It's probably the worst one. And leads to the biggest and strongest addiction. Dopamine surges when a person is exposed to novel stimuli. Particularly if it is intimacy or when a stimuli is more arousing than anticipated. Because erotic imagery triggers more dopamine than normal intimacy with a familiar partner, exposure to pornography leads to arousal addiction and teaches the brain to prefer the image and become less satisfied with real life. So what does that mean? That means that you are rewiring your brain when you watch pornography and you are training it. It is being trained on its own that pornography is taking over your mind. It is rewiring it and it is telling it that that stimuli that is on the screen is worth more than the thing that you see every night. Do you understand that? Then that wife that you see every night, that wife of your youth, you know that one? Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit. That treacherously living against the wife of thy youth. But the Bible says that you're not to be treacherous against the wife of thy youth. But pornography destroys intimacy with your loved one, with your wife. See how your eye affecteth your heart? See how that works? Because you're literally telling your brain, because of the dopamine surge that goes on inside of your brain when you see new, you're training your mind and your body to only, now listen, to only respond to new stimuli. Not the wife of thy youth. See how that works? You see, it destroys imagery. It rewires your brain. So if you are married and viewing pornography, your dopamine will not be kicked in and you will not be excited for your own wife. You better repent. You're destroying intimacy. So with the ability now to view thousands of ongoing images of evil and wickedness on high-speed internet, no less, that makes it even worse. The fact that it is high-speed internet and how fast it moves and how fast it affects the stimuli in your body, it changes everything. So if you have experienced that, you'll have to guard yourself even after repentance because your mind must be renewed and rewired by the Holy Ghost. So even after you've been forgiven, even after that sin is over, your wandering eyes and your wandering heart will still be there and will still have to be rewired and renewed daily. It will be a battle till the day you die. People ask, why do men seek out a variety of new explicit images rather than being satisfied with the same ones? The reason is attributed to what they call the Coolidge effect, a phenomenon seen in males, whereby males, to a lesser extent than females, exhibit renewed interest if introduced to new receptive partners, even after refusing intimacy from prior but still available partners. This neurological mechanism is one of the primary reasons for the abundance and addictiveness of internet pornography. This is one of the major problems from a scientific level, that is, from the way that God made your brain, okay? It's called the Coolidge effect. That basically, it's a vicious cycle, and I'm going to show you. It just, the cycle just, it's like you're in a wheel and you can't get off. Now, they call it the Coolidge effect, but I like to call it what Proverbs 27, verse number 20 calls it. It says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Right? That's better, isn't it? That's a little bit of that King James ology for you there. Amen? Galatians 6, 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What it is. It's the eyes of man are never satisfied. Once you feed that flesh and you continue to feed that flesh, your eyes will never be satisfied. Overstimulation of the reward circuitry, such as occurs with repeated dopamine spikes related to viewing pornography, creates desensitization. It desensitizes you. It desensitizes you. Why do you think we have so much absolute evil? Hey, you want to? I'll give you an example of this. About 30 years ago, pornography magazines such as Hustler and such as Penthouse and other magazines like that, you know what they started putting in their articles? They started putting articles in called Chester Molester. You know what that was about? It was about a guy that ran around with a baseball bat and was clubbing a little teenage girl wherever he could find her, and he was gonna rape her. Mm-hmm. Child pedophilia. Now, what do you suppose they put it in a cartoon fashion for? That's not the only one, by the way. There were other magazines did the same thing. So what do they do in modern pornography magazines? What do? They put child molestation in there in cartoons of pedophilia. Why? Because over the years, it would desensitize you. And now you had men like Ted Bundy that were coming out. And they were used to seeing it in cartoons. Fact, the guy that wrote that cartoon, by the way, he's in prison right now. What's he in prison for? Pedophilia. Which one's that? Oh, Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah, yeah. There you go. Overstimulation of the reward circuitry. That's what it does. It causes desensitization. As Gary Wilson explains, when dopamine receptors drop after too much stimulation, the brain doesn't respond as much, and we feel less reward from pleasure. That drives us to search even harder for feelings of satisfaction. For example, by seeking out more extreme stimuli, longer pornography sessions, or more frequent pornography viewing, thus further numbing the brain. So it's a vicious cycle that continues, it continues, it continues. And it hardens your mind. What did the Bible say? Lest you be hardened with the deceitfulness of sin. So what's happening? Hardening with the deceitfulness of sin. The more sin you get into, the more hard you get with it. The more sin you get into it, the harder it gets. The more your brain hardens and your heart hardens to it. And you just continue a vicious cycle through it. So it numbs the brain. So pretty soon it's not enough just to view pornography. It's not enough to continue to view pornography and continue it and view it more and more. Now you have to go after something real. And if you've watched hardcore, wicked things that are like hurt women and brutalize women and things like that in those videos, which I'm not going to talk about anything extensively. Okay. I'm not going to do that. But my point is that when you watch that, and you watch that over and over, okay, Brother Paul, what happens when kids play video games where they're just killing people with blood in them all the time, murdering people and sniping people and stealing cars and Grand Theft Auto and stealing vehicles and beating old ladies in the head. And what's this game that's going on? A couple years ago, that game that was going on where mostly black kids on the videos would walk up to white people and just punch them in the face, old grandmas. Knockout game, right? What was that? Desensitization. No feelings. Numb. Able to do anything. So what happens when they watch that hardcore pornography like that? They're going to go out after somebody. They're going to do that. And then they want to hurt that person. It's not enough that they want to be intimate with that person. They don't want to be intimate. They want to brutalize that person. See, I don't like this stuff. I don't like it either. That's why I'm preaching on it. And I don't want you to like it. And by the time I'm done, I want you to hate it. I want you to loathe it. And I want you to have a vengeance against it. And I want you to war against it. And I want your kids to understand how damaging it is. And there's no glory in it. There's no fun in it. Because when it's all said and done, it leads to death. Amen. The psychological behavior and emotional habits that form our character will be based on the decisions we make. Whenever the sequence of arousal and response is activated, it forms a neurological memory that will influence future processing and response to those intimate cues. As this pathway becomes activated and traveled, it becomes a preferred route, a mental journey that is regularly trod. The consequences of this are far-reaching. What does that mean? That means if your wife isn't a pornography star, you're not going to want her. That's what that means. She won't be good enough for you. No matter what she does, won't be good enough for you. It won't excite you anymore. You won't get excited. You won't have that desire for your wife like that. Why? Because you've destroyed it and your brain has been rewired. Mine eye affected my heart. So it's rewired your brain and it's changed everything. It's created new neuropaths and connected stimuli with that, connected excitement with that. And that's connected there. So pretty soon that's just, that wife of thy youth that gave you babies and took care of you and loved your children and everything, you know, she's no longer good enough for you anymore. I gotta go out and find somebody else. Somebody younger. Right? Somebody younger. So I can steal and ruin somebody's innocency. Right? That's right. That's right, dirty old men, that's right. What he says here is just the consequences of this are far-reaching. We don't even understand the consequences of it, okay? We don't understand the level that people can take that to. I'm going to tell you something right now, and this won't be popular, but I wouldn't trust to stay in a home with a man that was viewing pornography. I wouldn't trust my children around that man. I mean, if I was a woman, I wouldn't trust him to be around my children. And I'd tell him so, and I'd embarrass him. I certainly would. You would, preacher? That's mean. Something's got to wake him up, you dirty pervert! Well, preachers don't talk like that. This one does! If you don't like it, you're a pervert too! How do you like that? I liked it a lot. It will be, I'm sure. It will be. The inbox will be full. And I hope you do. And I hope you do email me and tell me how mad you are because I called you a pervert because you're watching pornography. Because you don't love your wife enough and your children enough to give up that wicked sin. And you definitely don't love the Lord Jesus Christ enough if you claim to be a Christian. Lord God, amen. You better wake up, friend. Death is knocking on your door.
Amen.
Man, I wasn't going to get this fired up, this first one, man. I was going to save it for the second one. But I'm about ready to blow a gasket, man. I ain't even kidding you, man. This red shirt is like a perfect example. If I start going through the roof, you better hold me down. That's all I got to say, man. I hate this so much. I hate it because when I was a lost man, I was tricked by it. Now I was given into sin, and it's my fault. But I hate the fact that it was a devil's trick. I hate it. And I'm going to reveal it. And I'm going to expose it for what it is. Amen. You see, this is where your brain is rewired, and that when you want good thoughts, you'll find your mind drifting into evil and wickedness. Click, 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 click. Images. Your brain will feel more pleasure to think on images you once filled your mind with than with the wife of thy youth. Turn to Malachi chapter 2, verse number 14, please. Malachi chapter 2, verse number 14. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. See that? You know, by the way, some of you aren't married yet, but some of you are defiled the covenant before you're married. You're already going to have a defiled mind before you get married. I know some of you think, well, I just ask God to forgive me and it's over. It's not over, friend. Yeah, your forgiveness is there. If you're saved, God will forgive your sins. God will put away, but that sword will not pass from thy house. Just remember that. Say, why, preacher? Because it's locked into your mind. That's why. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but I can be forgiven of it. You already were forgiven of it. You're just going to spend the rest of your life trying to get you to forgive yourself. See, I don't like that. I don't like it either. And I don't like thinking thoughts like that. And I don't like it when the devil comes back with those thoughts and whispers them. And I've got to place them under subjection to Jesus Christ. And I understand all that. Believe me, I do. And I have to put those things behind me, which are behind. And I have to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I get that, okay? But you better understand one thing. You're locked in this flesh until you leave. Until death. Or translation. You're locked into it. And what you sow, you reap in the flesh. And though you won't maybe outwardly ever act on any of those things, and you probably never will because you've been saved, but you will regret every single thing that you ever looked at. And all you can do is turn it into a war of revenge against it. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Amen. Pornography will rewire your brain, and you will be wandering in your thoughts, and constantly have to repent and bring every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. What makes internet pornography so unique? One man stated it this way. Wilson identifies a number of reasons. Number one, internet pornography offers extreme novelty. It's always different. It's always novelty. It's always different. It's always someone new. It's always something different. Listen to me. Your eyes were only meant to see your wife. Your eyes were never meant to see. God never made Adam to see a bunch of different women nude. You understand that? You say, but what about polygamy? God didn't kill them all for having polygamy. No, but God permitted it. I didn't say he condoned it, and he never instituted it. He allowed it to happen out of his forbearance. But look at these people that committed polygamy. You had sisters that hated each other? The women hate each other? How would you like to know that you're not the only one, that your husband has eyes for another woman? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? So your wife sleeps alone one night while you're sleeping with your other wife. You think that was God's plan? Wicked. It's wicked. Yeah, worked out well for Abraham, didn't it? No, I think we got about millions of Arabs running around killing everybody like a wild ass. Right? His hand would be against every man. All over the place. Right? Didn't work very well, did it? Sin has consequences. And so does you looking at pornography has consequences. Internet pornography offers an extreme novelty, so it's unique in that way. It's a unique drug. Number two, unlike food and drugs, there are almost no physical limitations to internet pornography consumption. There's no limitations. Where your mind can go and what it can view, there are no limitations to that. That's dangerous. You know why it's dangerous? Because the wife of thy youth has limitations. Reality has limitations. You understand that? Reality has limitations. That which you see on a screen is not reality. I'm going to tell you the next hour what it really is. Number three, with internet pornography, one can escalate both with more novel partners and by viewing new and unusual genres. I'm not going to go deep into that, but you get what I'm saying. What's that? That's right. But everything's different. Weird, wicked. Things that are not normal. Things that are against nature. Number four, unlike drugs and food, internet pornography does not eventually activate the brain's natural aversion system. So your brain has a natural aversion system that says, whoa, wait a minute, no. Well, pornography rewires your brain. So you don't, that doesn't kick in. Common sense doesn't kick in. Okay? Why? Because something has reached in and took over your brain and reprogrammed it to be something different. To do something different. Oh, preacher, you're being nuts. No, these are what scientists are saying, okay? All right, this isn't an independent fundamental Baptist preacher preaching this, okay? This is scientists saying this. This is what happens, okay? This is what does to your brain. How come even scientists are saying, man, you got to get off of that pornography. You got to get away from it, man. That stuff is killing you. Scientists, not Baptist preachers. No, Baptist preachers are probably practicing it, okay? Because they won't preach against it, most of them. When's the last time you went to a Baptist church and somebody preached against pornography? Keep looking. That's too delicate of a subject. No, it's not. It's because your people in the assembly are doing it. That's how you preach against those devils, they leave. When you expose those devils, people repent and get right with God. I had some guy tell me, you know, I heard a sermon you did on C.S. Lewis or teaching or whatever you call it. And he said, you're very good at what you do, but I don't know how much it really accomplishes. Yeah, but that's okay, kid. I get it. I mean, that's not what I said. And what I actually said was, the real truth of it is that you're a compromiser. You're stuck in sin. You're trying to defend your idols. So you're mad at me because I'm preaching against them. That went over real well. Number five, the age users start watching pornography. This is one of the other unique things about pornography that's so dangerous. It's more dangerous than being a crack addict, okay? It just is very dangerous. And here's the reason why. The age users start watching pornography. A teen's brain is at its peak of dopamine production and neuroplasticity, making it highly vulnerable to addiction and rewiring. Now, stop, okay? Check this out. All of the teachers today that are going after these young teenage boys, Why? Because their dopamine levels are the highest, right? These teachers are literally involving themselves, sending their, these, you know how they'd always, a lot of times how it starts? They send them pornography and what they call sexting pictures on their phone. And they send them pictures of themselves. What does that do? It causes them to be addicted to the image that they see and they go after them. What is that? Nothing more than the Bible talks about, the strange woman. What does she do? She lieth in wait. She seeketh out for the innocent life. See, it's all Bible, friend. Science doesn't have nothing on God. The Lord already talked about it long ago. That's what they do. They send these pornography pictures, these kids. They get them all charged up and excited. Their dopamine levels are raising, and they get these kids to do whatever they want them to do. Because they know that age of 13, 14 years old, 15 years old, and a young boy is that time where he's going to, if he's not governed and he's not taught right, he'll get into sin. Amen? Men's exposure to explicit materials is correlated with social anxiety, by the way. Here's another thing that most porn addicts have. You want to know what they have? Number one, they're correlated with social anxiety. Can't be around people that much. They get real anxious around people and don't really like to be around crowds of people and don't really like to be. I had one guy said, well, I'm just not used to being around people. No, you were a porn addict and that's your problem. You got social anxiety. There was a man here that's no longer in this church that said he had that. And the reason why he had that is because he had a porn addiction. And that's what created it in him. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Social anxiety causes depression. Makes you depressed. Low motivation. Dysfunction in performing the way that you should as a husband. Does that make sense? You get what I'm saying? I don't want to go into details. Basically, the plumbing's not working, okay? Does that make sense? It's not working right. Okay? By the way, I think that's a curse from God, if you don't know the truth about it. That's God's judgment upon pornography. That lust that you want, you will not be able to perform, even with your wife, because you have sinned against God. It's a good thing I only have two sermons today, because I think I'm going to lose my voice. I'm going to have to get out the half-mile hailer, Brother Paul. They'll be hearing me. This needs to be preached in downtown. This is what it needs to be. Hey, man, Brother Paul, this needs to be preached outside, doesn't it? And people are going to be like, you yelled that whole sermon. You better believe I did. All right. So it has that dysfunction. Concentration problems. Negative self-perception in terms of physical appearance. And being able to perform functioning-wise in intimacy. 25% of all searches on the internet are for pornography. Do you hear me? One quarter. 25% of all searches on the internet is for pornography. See, how do they trace that? Google knows everything. And tracks everything. What else happens? With pornography addiction, it causes loss of control. Withdrawal and compulsive behavior and addictions. Other addictions and compulsive behavior. Outburst. Can't function. Get angry and blast out. Makes sense, doesn't it? There are symptoms to that arousal addiction, they call it. There are symptoms with that. ADHD. That's one of them. Concentration problems, social anxiety, OCD. performance anxiety. The four C's of addiction, they call it. Inability to control use. If you're addicted to pornography, what do you have? Inability to control use. Continued use of despite adverse consequences. You don't care. If you're addicted to pornography, you don't care. You just continue to use it. You don't care. One of the major consequences of pornography is desensitization, like we talked about. The porn addiction is a cycle. It's vicious. It's a circle. The dopamine kicks in. The new neural path is developed. And the rewiring of your brain and nothing outside of that stimulates it because the dopamine is gearing you towards the pornography. So the only time the dopamine kicks in, those exciting things that kick in, you know, like when you're first married and everything like that, all those exciting things that kick in, they don't kick in. They don't turn on. Why don't they? Because they're triggered to turn on to an image on a screen. That's why, you know how many porn addicts, their wives talk about how their husbands won't touch them, won't talk to them, won't be affectionate with them, won't, don't have anything to do with them. And they find them in the other room looking on a computer screen. And they say, well, what would you rather me really go out and cheat on you? You already are. You've already developed an emotional relationship with that computer right there and a physical one. With those images that are on there, you've already done that. Dad, you better run home and grab that cayenne pepper for me. That it's a Dr. Schultz cayenne pepper. I'm doing a free advertisement right now. It's in that bottle, Dad. It'll say it's the liquid one. It brings the fire. Anyway. Yeah, you are. No, I'll be all right as soon as I gargle with that. I'll be fine. Anyway. I'm just getting fired up, that's all. The danger is for younger people who have had high-speed internet pornography because their dopamine and neuroplasticity is at its peak at a teen, and then they will not recover a normal ability when they marry and become intimate or a normal desire toward their wife due to high-speed internet pornography. It won't kick in. Their brain won't work. That's the danger of young people today being involved with that. Because they're basically, you ever heard of like burning out your adrenals, you know, with too much caffeine and other things like that? Okay? Well, this is the same thing. You're burning out that dopamine, and it's only going to work with the stimuli that it's been trained to work with. Instead of the God-given way to marry and enjoy the wife of thy youth. See? God made you that way. But Satan developed pornography. Sure it is. Internet pornography addiction leads to depression, discouragement, social disorder, inability to communicate, and many other things. People that have been delivered from it have found themselves starting new businesses, taking up hobbies, learning and growing as a person. Why? Because they break that vicious cycle. Once they break out of it, they're able to actually start talking to people. What do you think? You think you're going to be able to hold your head up high and have a conversation with somebody when you're nothing but a sick, twisted pervert that sits in his room and watches that stuff? Yeah, I said it. You're a sick, twisted, disgusting pervert is what you are. You are looking at somebody's daughter. I'll save that for the next sermon. In an interview called Fatal Addiction, Ted Bundy's final interview. Ted Bundy, mass murderer. I think he was into necrophilia as well. But a lot of things. Okay. Anyway, this is an interview that he called James Dobson, actually. Focus on the family. No, I don't support James Dobson's focus on the family. However, the interview is very compelling. And it's important that you read things like that to understand where people are coming from. Turn me up just a little bit, please. Ted Bundy, an infamous serial killer, granted an interview to psychologist James Dobson just before he was executed on January 24th, 1989. In that interview, he described the agony of his addiction to pornography. Bundy goes back to his roots, explaining the development of his compulsive behavior. He reveals his addiction to hardcore pornography and how it fueled the terrible crimes he committed. Now, he's not blaming pornography, okay? He takes full responsibility in this interview for what he had done, okay? A road that leads to nowhere. When Ted Bundy was 13 years old, he discovered dirty magazines in a dump near his home. He was instantly captivated by them. Instantly. Bundy became more and more addicted to violent images in magazines and videos. He got his kicks from seeing women being tortured and murdered in videos. Well, come on. Now, don't be too hard on old Ted. I mean, he's a wicked sinner. That's probably, well, he said he repented, so I don't know. I can't say he didn't because I don't know, okay? But he said he repented and put his faith in Christ. I pray he did, okay? Even though he's an awful man, I pray he'd be saved. I mean, I don't want to see anybody go to hell. You know, if they'll repent and get right with Jesus. Amen. That's the grace of God. But you've been guilty of this, some of you and me. I've watched slasher movies where horror movies where they're mutilating and cutting and slicing up women and all the, I've watched those things before when I was lost. I watched those things. But see, he became engulfed with it. He became consumed with it. When he was tired of that, there was only one place his addiction could go. From fantasy to reality. Bundy, a good-looking, intelligent law student, learned to lure women into his car by various forms of deception. He would put a cast on his arm or leg, then walk across the university campus carrying several books. When he saw an interesting co-ed standing or walking alone, he'd accidentally drop the books near her. The girl would help him gather them and take them to his car. Then he would entice her to push her into the vehicle where she was taken captive. After he had molested the girl and a rage of passion had passed, she would be killed and Bundy would dump her body in a region where it would not be found for months. This went on for years. By the time he was apprehended, Bundy had killed at least 28 young women and girls in acts too horrible to contemplate. He was finally convicted and sentenced to death for killing a 12-year-old girl and dumping her body in a pigsty. See what happens when you watch pornography and you watch all that wicked stuff? See what happens, what that can do to your brain, how it's completely rewired, then take the devils that are involved in it and the demon possession that takes place? Say, oh, no, my kid wouldn't do that or this wouldn't happen. You put wickedness in front of somebody, you don't know what's going to happen. You understand me? You don't know what's going to happen. Because I'm going to tell you his story here in a second. After more than 10 years of appeals and legal maneuvering, a judge gave the order for Bundy's execution. That week he asked an attorney to call me and requested, this is James Dobson speaking, that I come to Florida State Prison for a final interview. When I arrived, I discovered a circus-like atmosphere outside the prison. Teenagers carrying signs saying, burn, Bundy, burn, and you're dead, Ted. I don't blame him. I mean, I understand. You know, if that was your family, you'd want to see justice. You know? Also in the crowd were more than 300 reporters who had come to get a story on the killer's last hours. But Bundy wouldn't talk to them. He had something important to say, and he believed the media couldn't be trusted to report it accurately. Therefore, I was invited to bring a camera crew to record his last comments from death. I'll never forget that experience. I went through 7 steel doors and metal detectors so sensitive that my tie tack and the nails in my shoes were enough to set off... Why do you have nails in his shoes? Enough to set off an alarm. What's that? Oh, okay. Finally, I reached an inner chamber where Bundy and I were to meet. He was brought in, strip searched, and then surrounded by 6 prison guards while he talked to me. Midway through our conversation, the lights suddenly went dim. Ted said, just wait a moment and they will come back on. I didn't realize until later that what had happened. The prisoner knew that his executioners were testing the electric chair that would take his life in the next morning. Ted Bundy wanted to tell the world about pornography. What was it that Ted Bundy was so anxious to say? He felt he owed it to a society to warn them of the dangers of hardcore pornography and to explain how it had led him to murder so many innocent women and girls. With tears in his eyes, he described the monster that took possession of him. Hear that? When he had been drinking. His craze to kill was always inflamed by violent pornography. Quoted below is an edited transcript of the conversation that occurred just 17 hours before Ted was led to the electric chair. James Dobson said this, "It is about 2:30 in the afternoon. You're scheduled to be executed tomorrow morning at 7. If you don't receive another stay, what is going through your mind? What thoughts have you had in these last few days?" Ted Bundy replied, "I won't kid you to say it is something I feel I'm in control of or have come to terms with. It's a moment by moment thing. Sometimes I feel very tranquil and other times I don't feel tranquil at all. What's going through my mind right now is to use the minutes and hours I have left as fruitful as possible. It helps to live in the moment, in the essence that we use it in productivity. Right now, I'm feeling calm in a large part because I'm here with you. For the record, you're guilty of killing many women and girls." "Yes, that's true." "How did it happen? Take me back. What are the antecedents of behavior that we've seen? You were raised in what you consider to be a healthy home. You were not physically, sexually, or emotionally abused." "No. And that's part of the tragedy of this whole situation. Listen, I grew up in a wonderful home with two dedicated, loving parents as one of five brothers and sisters. We as children were the focus of my parents' lives. We regularly attended church. My parents did not drink or smoke or gamble. There was no physical abuse or fighting in the home. I'm not saying it was a Leave It to Beaver, but it was a fine, solid Christian home. I hope no one will try to take the easy way out of this and accuse my family of contributing to this. I know, and I'm trying to tell you as honestly as I know how, what happened." Listen. "As a young boy of 12 or 13, I encountered outside the home in the local grocery store and drug stores softcore pornography. Young boys explore the sideways and byways of their neighborhood, and in our neighborhood, people would dump the garbage. From time to time, we would come across books of a harder nature, more graphic. This also included detective magazines, etc. And I want to emphasize this. The most damaging kind of pornography, and I'm talking from hard, real personal experience, is that involves violence and sexual violence. The wedding of those two forces, as I know only too well, bring about behavior that is too terrible to describe." Dobson replies, "Walk me through that. What was going on in your mind at that time?" "Before we go any further, it is important to me that people believe what I'm saying. I'm not blaming pornography. I'm not saying it caused me to go out and do certain things. I take full responsibility for all the things that I've done. That's not the question here. The issue is how this kind of literature contributed and helped mold and shape the kinds of violent behavior." "It fueled your fantasy," said Dobson. "In the beginning, it fuels this kind of thought process." See what he's saying? His brain's being rewired. You hear what he's saying? He's admitting to it. This is what happened. "Then at a certain time, it's instrumental in crystallizing it, making it into something that is almost a separate entity inside." Now, right there is devil possession. What was the gateway? Pornography. You listening? The gateway was pornography. He just told you. Dobson says, "You had gone about as far as you could go in your own fantasy life with printed material, photos, videos, etc. Then there was the urge to take that step over to physical event." Ted says, "Once you become addicted to it, and I look at this as a kind of addiction, you look for more potent, more explicit, more graphic kinds of material. Like an addiction, you keep craving something which is harder and gives you a greater sense of excitement until you reach the point where the pornography only goes so far, that jumping off point where you begin to think maybe actually doing it will give you that which is beyond reading about and looking at it." "How long did you stay at that point before you actually assaulted someone?" "A couple of years. I was dealing with very strong inhibitions against criminal and violent behavior that had been conditioned and bred into me by my neighborhood, environment, church, and schools. I knew it was wrong to think about it, and certainly to do it was wrong. I was on the edge, and the last vestiges of restraint were being tested constantly and assailed through the kind of fantasy life that was fueled largely by pornography. Do you remember what pushed you over that edge? Do you remember the decision to go for it? Do you remember where you decided to throw caution to the wind? Ted replies, it's a very difficult thing to describe. The sensation of reaching that point where I knew I couldn't control it anymore. The barriers I had learned as a child were not enough to hold me back from seeking out and harming somebody. Would it be accurate to call that a sexual frenzy? That's one way to describe it, a compulsion, building up of this destructive energy. He's talking about devils, okay? He's talking about being possessed. He's talking about pornography, again, being that gateway, okay? Another fact I haven't mentioned is the use of alcohol. Oh. You mean like some guy, if it's only one glass of wine, it's no big deal. Sure. In conjunction with my exposure to pornography, alcohol reduced my inhibitions and pornography eroded them further. You better believe alcohol reduces your inhibitions. When I was a lost man, I got drunk and it reduces all inhibitions. Everything you ever learned, you will cross every line that you ever were never supposed to cross, even that you were taught from your youth never to cross, even what nature tells you not to cross. And it's because you've been seduced by it. Amen. After you committed your first murder, what was the emotional effect? What happened in the days after that? Even all these years later, it's difficult to talk about. Reliving it through talking about it is difficult to say the least, but I want you to understand what happened. It was like coming out of some horrible trance or dream. I can only liken it to, and I don't want to over-dramatize it, being possessed by something so awful and alien. Listen! Being possessed by something so awful and alien, the next morning waking up and remembering what happened and realizing that in the eyes of the law and certainly in the eyes of God, you're responsible. To wake up in the morning and realize what I had done with a clear mind, with all my essential moral and ethical feelings intact, absolutely horrified me. He was in a demonic frenzy and rage every time he did it. You hadn't known you were capable of that before? Ted replies, there's no way to describe the brutal urge to do that. And once it has been satisfied or spent and that energy level recedes, I became myself again. Basically, I was a normal person. I wasn't some guy hanging out in bars or a bum. I wasn't a pervert in the sense that people look at somebody and say, I know there's something wrong with that guy. I was a normal person. I had good friends. I led a normal life except for this one small but very potent and destructive segment that I kept very secret and close to myself. Sounds like pornography addiction. There's a lot of people that run around porn addicts and they don't even admit it. They don't admit it. Nobody knows it. Those of us who have been so influenced by violence in the media, particularly pornographic violence, are not some kind of inherent monsters. We are your sons and husbands. We grow up in regular families. Pornography can reach in and snatch a kid out of any house today. That's why I tell parents, you're stupid if you give your kid a smartphone with unlimited access to the internet. You have got to be a fool! No, my kid will be okay. Really? I'm sorry, but did you suck on something that was stupid today? Did you drink a glass of stupid today or what? That's not very nice. I know I'm not trying to be nice. I'm trying to be as real as I possibly can. Yeah, I need to bring this down to a level that you can understand this. Okay? If you give your young people internet access without any accountability over them and knowing what they're doing and watching and monitoring them, you are insane. Okay? You got issues. Somebody slapped you with the stupid stick. Okay? Wake up. Don't listen to me. Listen to Ted Bundy. Okay? And here's another thing. That's why my kids don't go running around and taking off either. So I don't let them go run around and take off. Well, I think I'll let them go hang out with their friends and everything. Yeah, no. You see this? Right there. The end of that arm, right there. That's where. What's the matter with you? You don't trust him? No! Any other questions? I know the devil preys on the innocent. And I know he wants to defile them. You see, the difference in me and you is that I actually believe the devil's working. And I actually believe he hates me. Okay? I actually believe he hates me. And I know he hates you. Oh, my kid would never do that. So give him a license and give him a car and just tell him to go take off. Well, they're old enough now. Why? Who says? Well, 16 is license and 18 is this and this. I don't care what that said. Big deal. Who cares? Show me the 16-18 thing in the Bible. Show me that, please. Show me that where I'm supposed to just hand over my young man and my young lady to the world and let them have them. And trust that they'll be okay. Man, foolish people. Foolish. It's like, why don't you get back to the Bible? Since when do we take our morality? Since when do we take our instructions from the federal government? Bunch of fools. Yeah. Anyway. He says he grew up, he said, diligent in protecting their children, as good as a Christian home as we had. There is no protection against the kinds of influences that are loose in a society that tolerates. Well, he's right about one thing. If you let your kids go run around and say, well, we're Christian, we go to church on Sunday, and I'm just going to let my kids go run around, and we teach them the Bible and everything, and I'm not going to have any accountability, I'm going to let my daughters go out and run around, I'm just going to give them a license and say, here you go, just take off and do what you want to do and everything like that, and nothing will happen. And I'm going to send them to work, and I know that no guy in that 10 buddy would come around and entice my daughter or try to entice my daughter to doing something evil or anything like that. That wouldn't happen. Why? Because she was raised in a, yeah, you mean like Dinah? Like Dinah? I'm telling you, I just never seen a bunch of foolish parents in my life as today, as their kids are so expendable to them. So absolutely expendable, and they trust the world. Or trust Christian school, or trust anything else. Why would you trust them? Why? What reason would you ever trust them for? It's ridiculous. James Dobson says this, outside these walls there are several hundred reporters that wanted to talk to you, and you asked me to come because you had something you wanted to say. You feel that hardcore pornography and the door to it, softcore pornography, is doing untold damage to other people and causing other women to be abused and killed the way you did. I'm no social scientist, said Ted Bundy, and I don't pretend to believe that John Q. Citizen thinks about this, but I've lived in prison for a long time now, and I've met a lot of men who were motivated to commit violence. Listen, without exception, every one of them was deeply involved in pornography, deeply consumed by the addiction. Don't take my word for it. Take all of these lifers that are serving life in prison for murdering and being executed. And what did they say? Oh, pornography. We were all porn addicts. The FBI's own study on serial homicide shows that the most common interest among serial killers is pornography. What would your life have been without the influence? Ted Bundy said this, I know it would have been far better, not just for me, but for a lot of other people, victims and families. There's no question that would have been a better life. I'm absolutely certain it would not have involved this kind of violence. James Dobson said, if I were able to ask the kind of questions that are being asked, one would be, are you thinking about all those victims and their families that are so wounded? Years later, their lives aren't normal. They will never be normal. Is there remorse? Ted Bundy said, I know people will accuse me of being self-serving, but through God's help, I have been able to come to the point much too late where I can feel the hurt and pain I'm responsible for. Yes, absolutely. During the past few days, myself and a number of investigators have been talking about unsolved cases, murders I was involved in. It's hard to talk about all these years later because it revives all the terrible feelings and thoughts that I have steadfastly and diligently dealt with, I think successfully. It has been reopened, and I have felt the pain and the horror of that. I hope that those who I have caused so much grief, even if they don't believe my expression of sorrow, will believe what I am saying now. There are those loose in their towns and communities like me whose dangerous impulses are being fueled day in and day out by violence in the media in its various forms, particularly sexualized violence. What scares me is when I see what's on cable TV. Some of the violence in the movies that come into homes today is stuff they wouldn't show in X-rated adult theaters 30 years ago. James Dobson said, the slasher movies, that is the most graphic violence on screen, especially when children are unattended or unaware that they could be a Ted Bundy, that they could have a predisposition to that kind of behavior. One of the final murders you committed was a 12-year-old Kimberly Leach. I think the public outcry is greater there because an innocent child was taken from a playground. What did you feel after that? Were they a normal emotions after that? Ted Bundy replied, I can't really talk about that right now. It's too painful. I would like to be able to convey to you what that experience is like, but I won't be able to talk about that. I can't begin to understand the pain that the parents of these children and young women that I have harmed feel. And I can't restore much to them, if anything. I won't pretend to, and I don't even expect them to forgive me. I'm not asking for it. That kind of forgiveness is of God. And if they have it, they have it. And if they don't, maybe they'll find it someday. Do you deserve the punishment the state has inflicted upon you? That is a very good question. I don't want to die. I won't kid you. I deserve certainly the most extreme punishment society has. And I think society deserves to be protected from me and from others like me. That's for sure. What I hope will come of our discussion is that I think society deserves to be protected from itself. As we have been talking, there are forces that loose in this country, especially this kind of violent pornography, where on one hand, well-meaning people will condemn the behavior of a Ted Bundy while they're walking past a magazine rack full of the very kinds of things that send young kids down the road to be like Ted Bundy's. That's the irony. I'm talking about going beyond retribution, which is what people want with me. There is no way in the world that killing me is going to restore those beautiful children to their parents and correct and soothe the pain. But there are lots of other kids playing in streets around the country today who are going to be dead tomorrow and the next day because other young people are reading and seeing these kinds of things that are available in the media today. James Dobson said, there is a tremendous cynicism about you on the outside. I suppose for good reason. I'm not sure there's anything you could say that people would believe. Yet you told me, and I have heard this through our mutual friend John Tanner, that you have accepted the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and are a follower and a believer in Him. Do you draw strength from that as you approach these final hours? Ted Bundy replied, I do. I can't say that being in the valley of the shadow of death is something I've become all that accustomed to and that I'm strong and nothing bothering me. It's no fun. It's kind of lonely. Yet I have to remind myself that every one of us will go through this someday in one way or another. James Dobson says it's appointed unto man. Ted Bundy said countless millions who have walked this earth before us have gone through this, and this is just an experience we all share. Ted Bundy was executed at 7:15 a.m. the day after his conversation was recorded. Now, what's in it for him? I don't think anything. I think he just told the truth. I think he was ready to die. He confessed all the murders he had done. He was getting ready to die. He said, yeah, I did all these. Maybe he did get saved, and that's why he was confessing things. I don't know. I'm not God, okay? But I do know this. I do know that he said one of the number one proponents of this was hardcore pornography and softcore pornography that he had found first, and it led him to such things. And doesn't that go with the evidence of science that said the same thing? And doesn't that go with the evidence of the Bible that says the same thing, that mine eye affecteth my heart? Father, Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for the truth. Lord God, we pray that some men that are perverted out there that are watching these wicked, wicked films and that they are destroying their marriages, destroying their children, and maybe even getting ready to hurt someone or fornicate physically and go out and maybe even take something that's not theirs and destroy somebody's life. Lord God, I pray this message would get in their hands. And I pray they'd wake up to see this. They think they couldn't do what a Ted Bundy did or anything else. But dear God in heaven, wake them to that. Show them their wicked sin before you. May they fall down on their knees and repent of their wickedness and get right with God before it is too late. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen.